Welcome to the Beer Driven Devs podcast, where your hosts, Matt Goldman and Liam Elliott, share their experiences and passion for technology, software, and of course, beer. So be sure to grab yourselves a cold one and join them for this week's chat.
How you been? All right?
Keeping together. It's just been a shit week, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Yeah.
You been keeping all right?
Yes, I'm okay. Monday was a pretty tough day to concentrate at work.
Yeah.
A bit overwhelmed. But, you know, like, I'm just being dramatic. Like, no one I know was hurt. You know, it's all good.
It is. But
it's just very sad.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's not much really I can say on that.
Well, maybe. I mean, look, today's the 17th of December. It's Wednesday.
Correct.
It's 3 days since there was a mass shooting at Bondi. When this episode comes out, it'll be Christmas Eve.
Correct.
So I don't know if we want to go with a ho, 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 Merry Christmas theme or if we want to talk about this. Maybe there's a balance we can find between the two.
I think there is. I don't know what the balance is, but there is absolutely bound to be a balance.
Here's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
What are you doing this year, this Christmas, this holiday season, to put some good into the world? And maybe let's not put you on the spot. Let's make it a bit more broad, right?
Sorry, it's just any other year that question would have been fine.
Oh, sorry.
Except for the year that I decided I'm going to put my foot down and say I'm not taking this shit anymore.
I mean, maybe that's what you're doing to put some good in the world. Like, sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes it just takes walking away.
Yeah.
But let's ask the question through a different lens. We're not firefighters. We're not nurses. We're not teachers.
We're not first responders.
We're not first responders. We're in tech. What can we do? Not us, you and I specifically, we in tech. What can we do to put some good into the world?
Really put me on the spot. Really, really put me on the spot. What can we do? I mean, the cop-out answer there is to give back to the community.
Yeah.
And I say it's the cop-out answer because, I mean, that's what we do every fortnight, arguably. Like that.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, yes, we're doing this for fun, but it's also our way to put something back in the world, right?
Yeah.
Something hopefully good. We've got, like, we do, well, you particularly do plenty of blog posting and whatnot. Like, there's that side of things where there is, yes, giving back to the community. But that just seems like the easy answer.
I mean, look, the world doesn't need every single one of us to be a superhero, right?
No.
Let's talk about what you just said a little bit. So you said that every fortnight we give back. Now, you and I have had discussions about topics and about things we've cut and about things we don't want to talk about. And there have been times where we have had to talk about something. But we have said multiple times, this podcast is not political. It's not, you know, it's not a social justice warrior mouthpiece. It's not here to fight evil or position our perspectives on politics or right or wrong or any of that, right?
Unless it's politics in the tech space.
That's right. Yeah. Everything's politics. But with that said, we do still share some, I mean, we wouldn't be friends if we didn't, but we share some views about fundamentals of right and wrong, right? And there are certainly discussions triggered by workplace experiences. And there have been broader discussions that those have reflected on, particularly the quote that you keep coming back to, which is the behavior you walk past is the behavior you endorse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we're not here being social justice warriors. We're not here. This podcast isn't activism. But I do think we take a certain position. And in particular, I mean, give you another example, is if you look at all the conversations we've had about open source.
Yeah.
We do take a particular position on certain things. I think we do have a firm stance on right and wrong. And I think that even if we're not doing quote-unquote activism, I do agree that every fortnight we are putting a little bit of good back out into the world. And that's not to say we always get it right. We probably don't. I definitely don't. But I think, you know, we're trying. And as I just said a minute ago, right, sometimes it's enough to just draw a line in the sand and say, that's a line I'm not going to cross.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Something you just mentioned sort of reminded me of experiences in the past, right? And maybe this is sort of where you're starting to go with this and moving away particularly from tech and beers as we do, but going back to your question about what can we do, what can we add back to the world? What good can we provide the world?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of the best way to word this. There's a lot of really a tangled web of threads in my head, and I'm just trying to bring them all back together. In the, like, we spend, and, you know, arguably everyone understands, like, we spend a good majority of our lifetime in the workplace.
Yep.
Right. So why don't we start there?
Yep.
Like, that's a great place to start, is what can we add back to the workplace? How can we make the workplace a better place for those around us? Not just for ourselves, but for them as well.
Yep.
Which then starts, which is sort of pulling on that thread where you were talking about, you know, the behavior you walk past is the behavior that you endorse, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it is as simple as in the workplace, when you see something that you don't agree with or that is fundamentally wrong, it could be, I don't know, bullying of some sort. It could be someone, you know, without being politically correct, but it could be someone who's making jokes at others' expenses.
Yeah.
And, you know, like being able to stand up and actually not walk past that.
Yeah. I'll give you an interesting case study on this, right? So I remember having a conversation with a leader in a workplace about a particularly problematic individual who was, he was just difficult, but he was, look, I mean, I'm not going to, I'm neither qualified nor know enough to make any kind of diagnosis here, but it's safe to say this person had some degree of trauma and some degree of self-loathing to an extent, but this person was difficult to work with and intentionally and deliberately difficult to work with. And this, I remember having a conversation with this leader about this person, and I remember bringing up that exact quote, which is that the behavior that you walk past is the behavior you endorse. And I remember talking about how this person very publicly and openly often just crossed the line in ways mm-hmm. that were just not acceptable. And I remember saying, look, it's not, I'm not here to school you on how to do your job or run your business. It's not my place, but you shouldn't be letting it slide. And aside from the morals and the ethics of it and whether it's right or wrong, you should be aware of how it's reflecting on you, because it makes you look weak and it makes you look like you're either ignoring it or you are frightened of this person or something like that.
Or you're complicit and you...
Complicit, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way this person responded was opened up Teams and email and showed me countless messages, emails, so on and so forth. And basically explained to me, saying, I know it looks like that, but as a leader, it's very important to me to praise in public, criticize in private. So what they were saying was, actually, I don't walk past it every single time, not just when I see it, but when it's reported to me, I pull it up and here you go, here's the evidence. And I think on the one hand, yes, I mean, the whole praise in public, criticize in private thing, I try my best to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
However, thinking back to an episode, a couple of episodes ago, I think it may have been the one where we were talking about the specialist myth.
Yep.
And there was something I think you said, which was about it, the context of the conversation at the time was about the military example and about how you have a certain amount of leadership capital.
Yeah.
And every time you put your foot down, you lose some of that leadership capital. Or every time you knock someone back, you lose some of that capital. And what we were talking about was actually sometimes the context was if someone on the team is being a dick,
yep.
you actually don't lose capital by calling it out. And I'd never completed this circle here to this scenario that I'm thinking about. But what we said at the time is that you actually lose capital by not calling it out.
Yeah. And
publicly.
Yeah. And I'm remembering this now, remembering that conversation we had. And yeah, because what I was saying there was because everyone else can see the guy being a dick, guy/girl being a dick.
Yeah.
And everyone is experiencing it. So as a leader, yes, you may lose leadership capital against that one individual, but you will gain more capital with those who are affected.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it from the net perspective.
It'd be a net positive.
Yeah.
Unless... a lot of people complain about him, but he brings the bills in and he gets paid. He gets away with it.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing is like, I mean, whether that's true or not, that's certainly one of the opinions, you could call them rumors, I don't know, that circulates in a situation like that. So people might look at someone like that and say, well, they're getting away with it because there's always a because. And what that because is could be anything. And it could be in this scenario because they're bringing in heaps of money. Mm. It could be because they're best mates with their boss. It could be because just because they've been there so long. It could be for any number of reasons, and any or all of them could be true. Any or all of them could be not true. But in my view, from a leadership perspective, none of that matters. And I think there's a whole other episode I want to do on this. And I've spoken to you about this, and I would really love to do this, but it's about, you know, what does leadership mean to you? And I think there's some examples that I've told you about where people have actually not necessarily gone against their own interests, although they have, but that's not really the point. It is that people have done the opposite of what we're describing in this scenario, which is, I don't want to give too much away because I really want to do a whole episode on this, but I do know examples of when people have given up business and given up personal gain because they have been ethically opposed to what's been happening.
Yep.
That's real leadership.
Absolutely. And again, like it keeps coming back to that quote of the behavior you walk past is the behavior you endorse.
Yeah.
Right. And if you extrapolate that, right, if say for argument's sake, one of your clients is verbally abusive to one of your employees, how do you handle that situation?
And, well, I mean, this is one of those examples that we've spoken about.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. And if you're going to walk past the client if you're going to side with the client and that's abusing your employees because they're paying their bills and they're a really big biller, like they're, you know.
Well, then you're basically a pimp.
Then you're a pimp, but that's the behavior you're endorsing, right?
Yeah.
You're encouraging them to do that behavior.
Yeah.
So
how does that relate to what we're doing once a fortnight?
But it's not. Like, it doesn't directly. But I guess for me, and sort of picking up on the threads that you were laying down earlier, it's the little things that we can do on a day-to-day basis that can help make our environments better, that help those around us feel better about themselves, to be in a better position, to be in a better state of mind.
So I think maybe this is something that we contribute, right? Because we've spoken about this before, maybe not on the episode, but certainly in conversations and in conversations in the space that we've had with others. One of the challenges is, and it's not an excuse, but it's kind of, we've got to give people a little bit of credit, right? But people often say, yeah, but what can I do? Or I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to speak up. I don't know how to even recognize these wrongs in my workplace, these injustices, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we've spoken about, certainly with Chris and at the Men Championing Change meetup. Mm. That was something that came up then a fair bit. And I think one thing that you and I do on this podcast is thought experiments in a sense, because we talk about these scenarios, we talk about these situations, and we talk about our personal experiences, but we also talk about hypotheticals, and we talk about what we've done, and we talk about what we've learned and how we would handle things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we both know, I think, that in the moment, when we're in the middle of it, we're human beings who first and foremost, we have an emotional response, and hopefully we don't react based on that, and we've learned enough. But what we do is we talk about what would we do if we wanted to be rational and respond in an ideal way. And then we red team it, and we often kind of what if each other. And
yeah,
where I'm going with this is that hopefully if people are listening, maybe that helps. Maybe that helps someone in a situation one day not to react based on an emotional response and to handle a situation or help identify a situation or help stand up for a colleague. I don't know. I again, I'm just speculating here and being purely hypothetical, but maybe I'm dwelling too much on this idea that we give back a little bit by doing this podcast.
Look, and I think that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's really interesting. And sort of something you just mentioned there too, that just got my brain ticking over, and you know, something I'm really absolutely trying to do myself is, are you aware of Viktor Frankl?
No.
He author and psychologist, I think. But he was in the concentration camps
right
back in World War II, and he survived. And he's written a few books since. But one of the quotes from him that helped him get through the atrocities there that, you know, I'd really try as much as I can to take on board now is, I'm going to butcher the quote, but basically it's, there is a moment after an action. There is a moment between the action and the reaction.
Yeah.
Right. And in that space is when you can slow down and take and make your decisions.
Yeah.
So the, and absolutely, like that's not the, obviously not the direct quote, but that's the idea is when something happens, when the action happens, to stop and take a breath and to slow down and take your time to react. You don't have to react the moment the action happens. There is nothing in this world that says just because something's happened means that you have to react straight away.
Yeah.
And it's being able to take that time and just being able to reflect, okay, well, what was that action? So I guess the reason that came up was because you were saying, like, when something happens in the workplace, we often get quite reactionary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And because, like, I keep talking about that book, You Are Not So Smart, right? And the thing is, of course we do. Like, it's our natural response. I mean, we're evolved for, I mean, look, we are social animals and we are evolved to, we're evolved to self-preserve. And, you know, a social threat, even without a physical threat of violence, is still an existential threat. So yes, we are evolved to respond and react emotionally. The adrenaline kicks in, the flight or fight response kicks in. It's the same, right? That you may fight with words rather than with violence. And interestingly, you know, if you think about the situation with physical violence as well, right? If you have a fight or flight response then and the adrenaline kicks in and you choose fight and you don't take that step back and think about it rationally, that's when bad things happen. It's the same, right? And the reason I bring it back to that book, You Were Not So Smart, is that we're not taught this in school. There's no training for this. There's no, like the fundamentals of what it means to be human. We're not taught any of that. We're not taught how to handle it, how to live in this body with these chemical reactions going on in our brains. Like, we just got to figure it out. And some people figure it out better than others. And most of us never do.
I don't know if I fully agree with that. You can be taught.
Fight me.
Exactly. You can be taught. And it's taught It's taught in training, right?
I'm not saying, sorry, let me put it another way. I'm not saying you can't be taught. Of course you can. Like people, yes, like the training is there. And sorry, this is where I was going with the kind of the combat analogy is that there are people who are trained and condition themselves to understand and recognize that emotional response, but not react based on it in a physical threat situation.
Yeah.
And there are people that are trained and conditioned to do the same socially, right? Or in the workplace. But most of us aren't because we're not taught that in school. We're not, no. That's not part of our formal education.
No, you're right. Yes, I agree with that. It's not part of the mainstream education, no. It's one of those things that you do need to, I guess, seek out outside of school. And you know, that comes with being in high-pressure situations.
Yeah.
And understanding how your body handles that stress, how your body handles the pressure, right? And it's funny, like my daughter's 9.5 and, you know, I'm already talking to her, trying to get her to recognize when those emotions are rising, like what's physiological response. Not that I'm using those words, but right, how does she feel? Like, can she feel her heart racing? Can she feel, you know, the blood boiling? Can you feel the heart racing, your pulse going up, your head getting, or the blood rushing to your head, or like what feelings do you feel in those moments? And it may well be that you're not going through training exercises, but each time you're in those situations, that is a training exercise.
Yeah.
Right. And it might happen in the playground for the kids. It might be the bullies are coming along doing whatever they're doing. And that she has a physiological reaction to that. And it's about understanding that that's what her body's doing, telling her we're getting ready for this fight or flight.
Yeah.
And being able to take that deep breath, have that moment before it's too late to say, okay, I'm just going to walk away, or this is what I'm going to do now. And as I keep saying to my daughter, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get it right. You're going to make the wrong decision. Absolutely. You're going to make the wrong decision. Don't expect to make the right decision. But after the fact, you need to sit back and figure out why was that the right or the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Good. I have no idea how we're getting to this point. That's life. That's
so. Yeah. Okay. So there's something you said that I wish I could remember who said it, but it's a quote that you just reminded me of, and it's quite well known, I guess. And I may have brought it up before, but it's something like, in school, you get the lesson and then you take the test.
Yep.
In life, you get the test, and if you're lucky, you learn the lesson.
Yep.
But all right, just spitballing here, right? Just putting something out there. Just let's see how this pans out. I was asking earlier, what can we do? Like, we in tech, what can we do, right? Let's think about this scenario that we've just identified. I've got an Apple Watch that has a heart rate sensor, a blood pressure monitor.
Yep.
There's no reason
Blood pressure too.
Yep. Yep. Wow. There's no reason why that shouldn't be able to identify if I've just gone into a fight or flight response.
No.
Imagine if that happens and my wrist vibrated and I look down, it's just the message saying, calm down, it's only work.
Interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, I know like my running watch tells me if I'm stressed or relaxed.
Yeah.
But stressed as in training stress, not...
Not
life stress. But yeah, and that does that based on, I think it's heart rate variability. So yeah, absolutely. It's something that should be able to be done. Sorry, just to flip back quickly, I've just been jumping on the old Bing, not Google, but Bing. Viktor Frankl, famous book he wrote was Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh yeah, that rings a bell. Yeah.
Right. And the quote that I completely muddled up was, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. And I guess that just can't, like, just to tie that back to where we were at before. It's something happens, you don't have to react straight away.
Yeah.
Recognize that there is a time there, a moment there to choose your response.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you a story. Once I was in a meeting and I was working for an organization. And the organization was part of a parent organization, and the parent organization had spent many, many years not really caring and letting us just do our own thing. And one day they decided they wanted to run things again. And I was in a meeting with various people. And one of these people was the CFO of the parent organization. I'm just laughing because I just remembered how much of a fuckwit this guy was. It's quite funny in hindsight. I mean, it was pretty funny at the time, but I do wish I'd handled it differently. So what was happening is we had an audit coming up, and they were panicking because they didn't do well on their audits typically. I'm trying to choose my words carefully here. We did very well on our audits typically, specifically with regards to IT, which obviously was my area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they did. We never had any problems, like literally never had any problems with our audits. Actually, we did have one after this, and it was a whole other very complex situation where it was one of those, on paper, you should do this. And we said, well, we're not, because that's paper and this is the real world. And I've got to be careful what I say, and I don't want to go into too much detail there. But that came later anyway. So in terms of our audits, we basically, you know, we never had any issues, like, because everything was fine from the audit perspective and from the compliance perspective, everything was fine. You know, we had... Because we were a relatively young organization, we were set up from the start, greenfield, with all the right things in place. So it was very easy for us to report on what we needed to report on and do well. Anyway, so I'm in this meeting and there's a bunch of leaders from my organization, a bunch of leaders from this parent organization, people from finance from both organizations, people from IT, including myself, but also some individuals that helped look after the finance systems. And this guy, this CFO, he was like, I don't care what it takes. I'll do whatever I need to do to make sure that we've got everything right, got everything in place to get this audit. Like if we have to have a stand up every day, that's fine. We'll have a stand up every day. And the reason this was funny was because, and I'm really not conveying it well, but it was very, very clear in the way that he worded it. He wasn't going to run this stand up. He wasn't going to participate in it. He was just saying, if you guys need to go and have a meeting every day, that's fine. You do that, right? I'm happy to endorse that. It's like, thanks, buddy. Anyway, the thing that really kicked it off was because I guess I didn't have the context that I needed, but I said to him, look, we're here to help. Whatever you need us to do to help you, we're here to help. We've got the bandwidth because, you know, we're fine. Like they've been very happy with us in the past with our audits. And he said, well, no, they haven't. And it just took me took me back. Like, so I just didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, okay. And I really wish I had responded differently.
Yeah.
And it was, and it, the conversation moved on. And afterwards, a couple of people came up to me and were like, oh, that guy owes you an apology. And I didn't even, that wasn't how I felt, because I didn't really give a shit at the time. I was just like, oh, okay. Like, it, as far as I was concerned, that derailed the conversation. And I was completely out of context and didn't know what was going on or what exactly the problem was. Anyway, in a follow-up meeting, like a week later, he, at the start, he didn't make eye contact with anyone and very non-committally said, oh, anyway, look, you know, I owe someone here an apology. Well, anyway, whatever. Yeah. So I'm sorry. I apologize. Whatever. Moving on. And he didn't look anyone in the eye and he didn't address what he said. And I just kind of laugh, whatever. With the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of the training that we were talking about earlier, I really wish that this is what I'd have done. I really wish I'd have just paused, let the silence hang, opened my notebook and picked up my pen, leaned in and said, really, please let me know what were the issues they'd found in the past in audits, because I don't have those. So can you let me know what the problems are?
Yeah.
That's what I wish I'd done.
Absolutely. I mean, it's,
I was young and stupid. Now I'm old and stupid.
But still, by doing it that way, right, it can come across quite passive aggressive. But if you genuinely want to know so that you can make sure it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely.
Then there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of, when I thought about it at the time, when I walked out and was like, oh, I wish I'd said that. What I was thinking was, oh, well, can you forward them to me, please? Because the ones that I've got, the reports that they've given me are all the glowing ones. So if you've got other versions of them, please, you know, forward them. But that's a little bit passive aggressive and a little bit sarcastic. And I think a better approach would have been to be genuine and just sort of, as you said, you know, I did want to know if there was a problem. I needed to know. I needed to be able to fix it.
Yeah.
So lean into that and just sort of say, well, you know, that's what we're here to talk about, apparently, is the problems that they've had in the past. So what are these problems? Let's address them.
Yeah, that's it. And it's interesting, like, by doing that, which at the time might seem a bit confrontational, you're actually going to get to the bottom of, like, you're going to make that meeting so much more productive.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go one of two ways. Either he's going to produce valuable information that you didn't have beforehand that you can now work on, or he's going to realize that he's been called out for
being a dick. But here's the problem, right? Because what happens then? Like, this is the thing, is everything we've just said is nice to think about, but here's the reality of the situation. If I'd have done that, imagine if I'd have made him feel like this big, and this is a podcast, so people can't see me doing the, this is a little Lego man type lesson.
You wouldn't, like, it depends on how you do it. And if it's done out of genuine curiosity, and maybe this is one of those situations where it is praise in public, criticize in private.
Maybe.
Right.
Where I was going with this, right, is it's nice to think about, and it's nice to have these shower conversations in your head or whatever. I'm basing that on, I'm sure I saw that post somewhere. You must have seen this post. It was an old tweet where someone says, how I spend my time in the shower is winning imaginary arguments or something like that. I can't remember the exact post. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of fun to think about. But the reality is, I think the outcome was probably the best outcome in the situation. Because I didn't actually take it personally at the time. Like, I didn't really care. In hindsight, wished that I had gained the upper hand somehow. But at the end of the day, like, who cares? And like, if I had done anything to undermine this person, I would have made an enemy and it wouldn't have worked out well for me. And at the end of the day, like, that half-assed apology that we got in the next one, which I didn't care about that either. You know, imagine if it had been a humiliating, groveling apology that this individual had to deliver. That would have been bad. And at the end of the day, we got what we needed, which was, okay, we don't need to focus on problems with the IT department from previous audits. Here's the actual specific problem that we're all worried about. And it turned out there was an actual specific problem that we didn't even get anywhere near in that first meeting. But in the second one, we did. And it was all good in the end. So, let me tie this back to what you're saying about Viktor Frankl, right? Which is, I think you said that something along, there's a stimulus and then there's a response. And in the moment in between,
you can choose. So in the moment between the stimulus and the response, you can choose your response or something. I've lost the quote, but something along those lines.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is there's a lot of moments afterwards as well.
there's moments to reflect and there's moments to learn and to learn your lessons, absolutely.
But there's a whole lifetime of moments to live with the outcome. And where I'm going with this is that from a personal perspective, from a narrative perspective, we want to go back and say, this is how I wish I'd handled that situation. This is what I wish I'd done in the moment. But ultimately, the broader outcome for everyone over the long term is what matters. What I'm trying to articulate here is that there are countless ways I could have handled that differently and quote unquote won that exchange. But what does that matter when at the end of the day, what we actually needed was to figure out what the problem was and address it? And ultimately, that's what we did.
Yeah. I mean, then you start playing politics, right?
Exactly, which is what I wanted to not do.
Yeah, exactly.
But what can we in tech do about it?
This is, yes. I keep, as this conversation's going on, and in that space between the action and my response to your quotes and your questions, I keep coming back to, what can we do? And just don't be a dick.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. That's it. That's all it takes.
And so just don't be a dick. Just do what's meant, do the right thing and don't be a dick.
Yeah. There's that famous quote that's, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good people do nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And that very, very much aligns with the behavior you walk past as a behavior you endorse. But all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good people do nothing, but also don't do the evil.
Well, that's it. I think that's a good start.
So, all right. Let's park that. Let me ask you another question. So I said it's 17th of December. This episode is coming out a week from today. It will be Christmas Eve.
Shit, that's coming around too quick.
Title of your sex tape. What are you doing over the holidays?
Holidays. Not a great deal to start with. Just taking the week between Christmas and New Year's off.
Yep. Just 1 week?
Just the week. You've got holidays booked in later, so I don't want to.
Oh, yes. So you're going away in January?
Yeah. Yeah, we're off. We're out of here. Got a bit of skiing in Japan.
Nice. Nice.
So not taking too much time over Christmas, but just the smallest amount I can.
Yep.
You guys got any plans?
We are kind of. So I've got 2 weeks off. We actually have a mandatory shutdown, 2 week shutdown. Well, yep. But I mean, I'll be working, but not on my employer work, on other things, which I'll come back to. We are doing very little. Last, I don't know if you remember, but I was saying last year we hosted and we had, I think, 20 people.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting. And this year has been an exhausting year. So we are having a quiet Christmas at home, just the four of us.
Yeah.
We have a couple of plans to catch up with family and friends over Christmas, but nothing like over the holiday. I mean, like nothing major.
Yeah.
My sister and her family are visiting from New Zealand. So they'll be staying down in Sydney. So they'll come and stay here for a night at some point and we'll all catch up together at some point. And I expect that I will probably see them a bit more than the rest of us here, just because the kids really don't do well in that car drive, but I can just nip down on the bike. So I'll probably see them a little bit more.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. But other than that, I will be working on my side projects, which is the same thing I'm always doing.
Which one?
Well, that's it, right? So this is another way that I guess I'm trying at least to put a bit of good back out into the world. I don't know if you've seen, I've recently been working on this project called Flagstone UI.
No.
Okay. We can talk about that another time. I won't go into too much detail. But basically, it's not a UI kit in the sense that it doesn't give you like controls. It is an .NET MAUI API layer abstraction. So basically, you know how MAUI gives you the native controls for each platform?
Yeah.
And it gives you a whole bunch of properties that you can use to style those controls,
mm-hmm.
but not all of them. So back in the Xamarin days, you would have to write a custom renderer. And a custom renderer means, you know, for example, I want this button to look like this. The Xamarin Forms API gives me access to these properties. The Xamarin Native API, which is the abstraction over the platform APIs, gives me everything that the platform gives me. So if you wanted a button that you couldn't style using the Xamarin Forms styles, you would write a custom renderer, which would be, you could then abstract into your Xamarin Forms application, but then your code, your platform code would render it on the platform.
Yeah.
So in MAUI, you basically do the same, you can do the same thing. So the example that I always go to is entry, which is, so, you know, input in HTML
is
kind of like that. its entry. It's a single line text input field. And there are just properties of it that are rendered on the platform using the platform's renderer for that control that are just not there in MAUI. So what I've done is I've basically stripped away all of the styling from the platform native controls. I've made them basically completely like naked.
Yeah.
And then built a wrapper around them to expose all of those properties at the MAUI layer. So you can write your code, all your code in MAUI and style them at the MAUI layer without having to do platform native code. And I'm really happy with it, actually. Like, it's working really well. Like, it's working really well. And I've done quite a lot more around it. Like, I've built a Bootstrap converter with a UI as well. So it's a CLI tool and a .NET CLI tool, yeah, and a UI. So you can run this app and then you can import a Bootstrap theme and convert it to XAML and into Flagstone UI XAML. It even downloads the fonts if it can find them. And I've got a bunch of themes available as well. I've got a bunch of AI tooling I'm working on to help people like vibe code with it. Yeah, it's coming on really well. And there's a bit left to do before I've got some NuGet packages around, people can play for it. I've already had a pull request from quote unquote the community. It's actually one of the MAUI maintainers, which is really cool. Yeah. So he jumped in with an improvement, which was awesome. I want to do some more around it, like integrating with Figma and so on and so forth. But basically, like I've spoken about this before. I really think .NET 10 is a major, major leap forward for MAUI.
Yeah.
And I really think it's a different era. And I think that kind of promise that we spoke about where, okay, you're a .NET dev, you want to make a cross-platform UI app, here you go. You don't have to learn anything else. Like we're like 95% of the way there. I'm just trying to fill in that last 5%.
Yeah, okay.
So that's one thing. There's a bunch of other things that I'm doing as well, which are all, you know, like most of them are kind of open source free things that I want to do. But there's a couple of commercial projects I'm working on as well, which I can't really talk about right now. But there are some things that I'm working on that I am hoping will be products. And again, even with those, there's because it, you know, I'm always asking myself this question: is what I'm doing putting more good into the world, you know, on net balance, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of even these commercial things, I'm always thinking like, what's the open source approach here? What's the community approach here? What's the angle where I can give this to people? Because if I didn't have to work, if I didn't have to earn a living, I wouldn't make any commercial products. I would just make things all day, every day, and just, they would all be open source and everyone can have them. But I do have to work. I've got a mortgage and I've got kids to feed.
Yes. Well, that's I think one of the big problems that we all have. I have no idea how you find the time.
I get up very early and I have very little sleep and I don't do much else. I don't do much else. I mean, my social life is nowhere near as active as it used to be, which comes from, I mean, really, you know, since COVID, you know, since COVID and during COVID, as you know, we moved away from Sydney. And I think we just got used to seeing people far less frequently.
Yeah.
So it's good. I really felt like I reconnected with myself during that time, actually.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I got back into the hobbies. I mean, making things, doing the side projects. Yeah.
Yeah. Putting back to the world.
Trying. Blowing up capacitors.
Have you replaced that yet?
Not yet, but I have. I think I mentioned it an episode or two ago that I tell you I fired up all the bits and everything was fine?
No.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, I did.
Oh, good.
I finally got around to testing everything and everything. So, apart from literally that thing that blew up. And there was a couple of the, I probably mentioned the INA260 sensors, which I'm using for measuring the voltage and doing the battery reading.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those are blown. And the obviously, the step-down converter was blown up. But everything else is fine. Like the mini PC is fine, the screen, everything. Like everything, oh, it's good. All fine. Yes. So that all turned out okay.
So, mate, you started out asking what we can do to make the world a better place. What can we add to this world?
Yes. What can we do? What can we do?
And I think one of the things we did, well, I started out by responding saying we can give back to the community, right? We don't need to take from everyone. We can always give back. And we do that by producing this podcast.
Yep.
Last episode, we also mentioned another way that we would like to give back.
Yep.
We mentioned that we were considering doing a BDD Live event in the new year.
Yes.
And over the last couple of weeks, the more we speak about it, the more it just sounds like a really good idea and something we should double down on.
Absolutely. I'm keen.
I am super keen too. So did you say that you've teed up a venue, you've teed up pizza sponsors? Is that what you told me?
Yes, I actually do have both of those things
Sweet.
Ready to go.
And yes. I reckon by the time this kicks off, we'll even have a beer sponsor. And I'm sure we will.
Is it going to be N-Cubed Solutions?
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
If not, it will be the Beer-Driven Devs.
If not, we will have a beer sponsor too. So in our discussions, Matt, what have we locked down? We have decided on what date? Remind me, please.
It's going to be Thursday, the 19th of February.
Thursday, 19th of Feb, somewhere in the Sydney CBD.
That's correct, yes.
So last week we mentioned too that it was, or last episode, we did mention we were considering a panel discussion.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we mentioned the topic, but
I can't remember if we did either, actually.
Yeah, that's fine. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes, see what we can tee up. If it's not a panel discussion, we'll make sure it's an entertaining night with great discussions regardless.
It will definitely be an engaging and interesting conversation, a discussion, which may or may not be a formal panel discussion. But even outside of that, it's going to be fun. There'll be lots of good conversation to be had, I think.
Absolutely. So I think we can say lock in that date, 19th of Feb. What did we say? Thursday, 19th of Feb next year.
Yep.
The inaugural annual BDD live event.
Yeah, that's right. You just made me think of that Bimon SciCon. You must know what I'm talking about.
No.
Bimon Sci-Fi Con. The bi-monthly science fiction convention, or Bimon Sci-Fi Con, is the bi-monthly science fiction convention held in the town of Springfield. You don't remember this one?
I remember the episode. The one that comes to mind was that one where Mr. Burns needed Homer to sign something and told him that it was to receive. So Mr. Burns told him that it was to receive an award.
Right.
And then Homer made this big deal. Oh, so if it's an award that I'm receiving, there must be this massive ceremony.
Right.
And so it was the inaugural annual 15, whatever it was. But yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
But anyway, and as you said earlier, not that we get political, but it does remind me of something very recent that happened too.
What's that?
Where a certain president received the FIFA's inaugural peace prize.
Right.
Yes. Just to appease certain people, we'll make up an award just to keep you happy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, here's my take on this, right? As I said, 17th of December, this episode comes out on Christmas Eve, right?
Yes.
After Christmas, there's New Year. And then, you know, okay, there's a public holiday coming up. There's, you know, on the 26th of Jan. But people need something to look forward to. Like, after the excitement of Christmas has passed, people need something to look forward to. This is it, Liam. This is what we're giving them.
That's it.
BDD Live, 19th of Feb. 2026. Get excited.
Looking forward to it. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, same.
But until then, I think I can hear them calling last drinks.
They're ringing that bell.
That's it.
I think that's it for this episode of the Beer Driven Devs. I'm Matt Goldman.
And I'm Liam Elliott.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The Beer Driven Devs podcast is recorded and produced on Dharawal and Darkinjung land.
I like how you slip that in.
Title of your sex tape.
I like how you've slipped it in to a point where it's going to be hard to edit out.
Yep.
For context, Matt already dropped that joke before the recording started.